Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I hope you can certainly hear me. This is the doctor, doctor number 14, and we are doing the Best SF Show today on the February 1st, 2015 edition. And we are getting snowed in here in Chicago, something fierce. We have a blizzard. We already have about 6 to 7 inches on the ground with another anywhere 8 to 12 inches expected until this blizzard is over. But until then, we're here to basically review all the shows that we want to do. There were some season finales as well as series finales, Gallivant and Librarian season finales. Not sure yet whether either of them will be picked up for a second season. We also have Resurrection and American Horror Story Freak Show, the series finale. Well, American Horror Story is coming back with the Freak Show finale, as well as the series finale of Resurrection. So without further ado, let us basically review Gallivant. And it did pick up a little bit in the ratings from a 0.9 to a 1.1 rating with 4.37 million viewers. So that's encouraging. Should they have it come back maybe for another 8 half-hour episodes? We find out that Isabella's cousin Harry is coming to save them and then plans to marry her. And we find that Prince Harry arrives and he's a young boy. So Richard is going to have a duel with Kingsley. Gareth is picked to fight for Kingsley, and Gallivant is going to fight for Richard if he frees them all. So there's a pre-duel welcoming feast, and the feast commences. And Chef Vincenzo is trying to be convinced to poison them, but instead he made them allergic to all the food. And then Harry leaves as Gallivant expresses his love to Isabella, and he sings, "This is my moment in the sun." And then Kingsley wants to execute the chef, but then Richard decides he wants to fight for himself. So in the second episode, 108, it's all in the execution. Gallivant is drinking with Richard before the night of the that night before the duel, and Richard admits he's a virgin. And then Gallivant wants Richard and him to kill Kingsley in his chambers. So we're off on a secret mission, and Kingsley finds them in his quarters, and Gallivant and Richard are thrown into the dungeon. The next day, Gareth frees Richard and knocks Gallivant out after he kisses Isabella, Gallivant, that is, and gives them to pirates to take them back to Richard's kingdom. Meanwhile, Gareth frees the others but keeps it for security, and Magdalena then kills Kingsley and promotes Gareth to king, and then Isabella goes to Harry, and he puts her in a life-size dollhouse. And that's about all we have for Gallivant. Gallivant's off with King Richard, Isabella is living in a dollhouse, Magdalena is with Gareth now, so maybe there will be a season two, maybe not, but we'll just have to see. Okay, then brings us to Resurrection, episode 213, Loving in Return. And the series finale did pick up just a little bit from a 0.8 to a 1.0 with 3.73 million views. And basically, Margaret is able to get to Rachel, and she's able to convince her to go with Tom, to join Tom in the afterworld, hence eliminating the baby being born. But basically, what happens is Henry, well, they're able to stop Margaret from doing this. And they break in, interrupt the trance that Margaret induced. And then James and his followers come to the Langstons. And then they break down the doors. They get overpowered. James goes upstairs to see Rachel and says Tom is waiting for her. And basically, Margaret frees Marty at this point. So he's able to interrupt the James-Rachel exchange and says James believes child is evil. And Marty shoots James as he comes at her with scissors. And the baby is coming. And the baby then is born, and the dead are returning all over the world. They have what is called a mass return. 1 year later, Marty runs the Bureau of the Returned, we see. Preacher James is in jail, and Marty says to him that the boy is normal, and Marty's not going to visit him anymore. And then Marty is invited to the Langstons for dinner. He's having a pretty close relationship now with Maggie. And then Rachel is singing to her child, there was a very special boy, and cicadas are at his window. So we don't know whether there is something wrong with the boy, whether he is causing problems with the resurrected and things like that, because that's how the show ends. Pretty bad, I would say, for a show ending. Okay, this brings us now to The Librarians, episode 110, The Loom of Fate, which received its lowest rating of the season, a 0.7 rating with 3.033 million viewers. Eve wakes up with blood on her hands, and then she wakes up again, and she's fighting mummies and meets up with Flynn Carson, and they find the sarcophagus and holds the key to bringing back the library. So they're going to use the storybook from a previous episode in Tesla's power unit, along with the sarcophagus, to bring the library back. But then Duloc enters through the sarcophagus, and he needs more power, and he needs a blood sacrifice to bring the library down. And so he kills Labia. And then Duloc is able to cut the loom of fate. And what happens is Flynn and Baird, by doing this, Flynn and Baird are captured in this alternate timeline. And Flynn doesn't know Baird. And Stone frees them and kisses Eve. And Stone says he's the librarian. He's been the librarian for 10 years. He's watched Eve die, and Eve was his guardian. So she stopped Duloc from stealing the library, and she was stabbed to death. So Stone activates a teleportation device, so Eve and Flynn get transported to another timeline where Ezekiel is now the librarian, and Eve was his guardian until she was stabbed by Duloc again. And there's hordes of ghosts from that house from the previous ghost episode, and Flynn has no memories of what's going on. So the ghosts are breaking through, and Flynn zaps them, freeing them, making them alive. And then they disappear from that timeline and enter a third one where they see dragons all around, and Labia drugs them and brings them to Cassandra. And Labia is Cassandra's guardian. And Labia killed Duloc after he killed Eve. And Cassie used magic to save herself from the tumor she had, and now she uses it, and she's more like a sorceress now. And Flynn wants to save the world and wants to rethread the loom with the thread from the labyrinth from their first episode that the librarians were on their own. But it's not there in the annex. So instead, Cassandra retrieves the librarians, Zeke and Stone. They form a trinity, and the thread of the labyrinth comes back, and a door opens, and they can go back at the point where the loom is. But they meet up with a young Lancelot, a Lancelot Duloc. When he was younger, he stabs Eve again, and Jenkins then appears as Galahad and fights Lancelot. As Carson restrings the loom with the thread, everything is corrected, but Eve is still dying. So they return to the present timeline. Flynn finishes the storyline and takes her to the library, where they're able to get it. Flynn gets Eve to drink the regenerative liquid that he took. She recovers, and the library is back. So at the end, Flynn allows the librarians to do missions on their own, and they decide to join Cassandra on her mission to Lima, Peru, and Flynn takes Eve on a date, but to where? and that's where the librarian is. So, on to Gotham and then Sleepy Hollow for Monday night. Gotham, episode 113, welcome back, Jim Gordon. Dropped a little bit in the ratings from a 2.2 to a 2.1 with 6.04 million viewers. Fish Mooney is manacled and Bob is going to take care of her, but Fish's bodyguard Butch comes and gets her before Bob tortures her. Meanwhile, there's this interesting thing going on with this drug dealer who's been killed with an ice pick. And then Leon, who's going to testify as to the identity of the killer, also gets ice picked as well. And so what happens there is they find that there's a dirty narcotics cop flask who's involved with this, as well as another cop, Delaware. And so they're able to expose the shenanigans of the police. And so while this is going on, Selina comes to Bruce's mansion, and Selina wants to know why he's looking for her, and Bruce gets her a present, a snow globe, and wants her to stay at his place. But Selina says to stop hassling her, and she says she lied. She doesn't know who his parents' killers are, and she then leaves. And what else is going on? Bullock is with Fish on the docks. She's leaving town for a while. That's about it with Gotham. Not the best episode, but certainly not the worst episode either. So let's go to Sleepy Hollow, what is encouraging. It's showing a pickup in the ratings the last 2 weeks, since it's not been determined whether it's going to be back. Kali Yuga, and it picked up from a 1.3 to a 1.5 with 4.37 million viewers. So let's play our Sleepy Hollow theme song, and then let's review the episode, shan't we? So, get it. Here we go. So on Sleepy Hollow, Abby is doing karaoke and Holly meets up with Carmilla Pines, his caretaker, and she is going to rob Theodore Knox's estate, and she changes into a monster and says Holly owes her. So Ichabod is singing at the bar, the archives have been breached, Holly is there, and he took something, and Ichabod arrows Carmilla, and she takes it out of her, the arrow, and flees. And basically, Holly got the blueprints to Knox's watch, which contains occult items. So Carmilla says, a coat put a mark on her, changed her into a monster, and she wants an artifact in that vault that can make her human again. And so Holly opens up the vault. Carmilla enters. She finds the item she's looking for, a Kali statue. But Abby shoots her, and she holds her as Ichabod threatens her with a crossbow. But Holly comes and tries to make a deal with Carmilla that he will be with her. So they lock Abby and Ichabod in the vault, and then Carmilla drugs Holly while Ichabod activates a button, first a wrong button inside the vault, so walls with spikes move towards them, and then Ichabod presses the right button and they escape. And when Holly awakens, he finds out that she's going to kill him, Carmilla, that is. So Abby and Ichabod get there. Jenny hits Carmilla, and then Holly gets out and spears her with an iron bar, and she flees. And then Holly decides to leave, so he kisses Jenny goodbye. And while this is going on, Irving is cleared of all charges, and the wife says that he died and wants to know if it's really him. And so she takes him to Katrina and does a ritual with Irving, and she lifts the link between him and the god of war, the horseman of war. But it's not over yet. Not by a land shot. Okay. So before we do anything else, let's do our American Horror Story Freak Show, episode 413, Curtain Call. And it improved in the ratings from a 1.4 to a 1.5 with 3.271 million viewers. So let us play our American Horror theme song, okay? If we can get it to go, trying to move it, but it's a little bit difficult. So let's see. Here we go. Here we go. Oh, I thought I did. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Hold on. Okay, so in American Horror Story Freak Show, Dandy is running the freak show, but no tickets have sold. And the freaks turn against Dandy. He spit on and the freaks quit. So what happens is Dandy starts shooting the freaks one by one. The strong lady attacks him, but Dandy shoots her dead. Desi is hiding, and Dandy has tied up the twins. And at Dandy's place, then a wedding commences between him and the twins. But Beth says they prepared a wedding feast for him. They dine, but Desi has fixed his drink. Bet uses his gun and shoots him in the arm. Then Jimmy serves him the next course, an invite to Dandy Mott's star attraction. And Dandy passes out. And when he awakens, he's in a glass chamber, Houdini's escape tank, and water is pumped in, and the freaks watch as he drowns. End of Dandy. Dandy. Meanwhile, Elsa tries to see Mr. Gable of WBN World Broadcasting Network in Hollywood. She waits an entire day, but he left out the back. So she loses it, but she meets the VP of casting, Michael Beck. And before you know it, Elsa Myers has married Michael Beck. She has a variety hour in 1960. She's making a coffee commercial, but she gets upset and she's very temperamental. She has an engagement at home and sees her friend who gave her the prosthetic. She's dying of cancer and has a month to live. And then Beck brings Gable, Mr. Gable, the president of WBN to Elsa's place, and they talk about her 8mm films were seen by both of them, very smutty, where her legs are cut off, and Beck is leaving her. Meanwhile, Hooper, a reporter, is going to publish an article on the films. They also know about her freak show, too, and Gable says they're all dead, a massacre. She also decides to do one last show, a Halloween spectacular, spooktacular. She sings. And we see Desi is watching. Desi's married, sees her on TV. Jimmy married Bette and Dot, and they're pregnant. And she stops singing as a mist comes in, and she can only see Mordrick, no one else from the mist. And he kills her, and she collapses. And she finds herself in this spirit world back at the freak show. All the freaks are alive. They're performing for a full house, and she sings to the full house. And that's how it ends. Ends on a happy note with all the killing and stuff like that. I was a little bit surprised that it ended on a happy note, but it did. Okay, so this brings us to the Tuesday night lineup, Flash, Supernatural, Agent Carter, and Pretty Little Liars. So Flash, episode 111, The Sound and the Fury, it reached its series low for Flash, 1.3 So it dropped from a 1.4 to a 1.3 for 4.08 million viewers. And it was really cool to see Barry nabbing the Royal Flush Gang, Iris becoming a reporter for Central City Picture News. But the Pied Piper, a.k.a. Hartley Rathaway, Wells' protege, is basically targeting him. And he's using sonic technology. So when he attacks his relative's building, Rathaway Industries, Barry yanks his gloves off, and Tartley says he knows Wells's secret, so he's cuffed and brought to Star Labs, and basically he's put down in the particle accelerator prison. Meanwhile, Wells confronts Hartley, and he then tells all of Central City that basically he was told that the particle accelerator might explode, but he still made the decision to go ahead, and he apologizes. And then basically Hartley is able to escape. He breaches the defenses. He gets out. He knocks out Caitlin. He transfers files on Barry's molecular structure from Star Labs. And basically what happens is Hartley makes his move. He's attacking cars at a toll by the dam. Hartley has data on Flash's scan. And Flash yanks his gloves off, but the gloves activate particular harmonics, and Barry is in pain from killing him. So Harrison sends a counter signal via the car satellite radio, and the sound circuits the gloves. Piper is incapacitated and imprisoned in the particle accelerator, but Cisco will let him out, and because he knows where Ronnie Raymond is, and he's the only one that can save him. And then Wells puts on a device, a tachyon device, because he still can't control his speed as Reverse Flash. So things are afoot on Flash. Not the best episode, but probably a good one nonetheless. On Supernatural 10-11, There's No Place Like Home, it reached one of its series low, a 0.7. It dropped from a 0.9 the previous week with 2.06 million viewers. This man is being tortured by Charlie. Charlie, who was a friend of the Winchesters and went to the Emerald City with Dorothy. And the man is a district attorney. And we find out that she's trying to go after the drunk driver that killed her folks. Well, this isn't all. The boys discover that there's two Charlies. She made a deal with the Wizard of Oz to unleash her darkness. So basically, to win the War of Oz. So both are connected, good and dark Charlie. And dark Charlie won the war, but now is going after the killer of the parents to be close again to good Charlie. And so Russell Wellington is the drunk driver, and Dean has to protect Russell as well as dark Charlie. And basically, Dean confronts Russell, and bad Charlie is there, and she says she wants him to just see her face, and that's all. But then Russell calls her Celeste, and he apologizes to her, and she locks the door and stabs him. Meanwhile, Sam and good Charlie are trying to repair the key so that they're able to get the two selves integrated back together again. They meet up with Clyde, who did go to Oz. He was a man of letters, and he does have a key, but the key can only be repaired in Oz. And basically, Clyde says his bad side was the wizard. And if he's mortally wounded, the wizard will come to Earth. So he shoots himself, and young Clyde, a.k.a. the wizard, enters the world through the mirror. And Charlie shoots old Clyde, and so then the young Clyde dies too. And Dean beats the crap out of bad Charlie. And then Sam gets the wizard's key. The two Charlies are rejoined, and Charlie is leaving, staying on Earth, and she forgives him for beating her up so much as bad Charlie. Okay. Marvel's Agent Carter, episode 104, The Blitzkrieg Button. This reached its series low of 1.3. It dropped from a 1.5 with 4.63 million viewers. So, the shady Mr. Mink gets Howard Stark back in the country, where he meets up with Peggy and Jarvis, and Peggy is going to hide Stark at the Griffith Hotel. And Peggy then takes pics of the inventions the SSR retrieved using Howard's camera pen, and all of his inventions are in his lab except one. He needs one stolen back. It's the Blitzkrieg button. It turns electricity off, and Stark is the only one who can disarm it. An entire city can be blacked out. So basically, Peggy goes to the lab, exchanges buttons, but she opens the real one and sees it's a vial containing a substance. So Peggy asks Howard what's in the vial, and it's Steve Rogers' blood, and he worked on Project Rebirth, and thinks Captain America's blood can be a cure for all ailments. Well, Peggy is upset and wants him to leave, and Jarvis knew about the blood as well. And so Peggy hides the button behind the wall of her apartment. Meanwhile, one who's targeting Peggy, he is subdued and killed by this female, Dottie. And Dottie is a super spy from Russia, part of the Black Widow project that we will find out all too soon. So yeah, Carter's pretty good. It's got four more episodes to go. Meanwhile, Pretty Little Liars 517, The Bin of Sin, it received a 0.9 with 1.996 million viewers. Let's just play our Pretty Little Liars theme song and then review it, shan't we? Here we go.
Not a secret, can you keep it? Swear this one you say. Better lock it in your pocket, taking this one to the grave. And I show you that I know you won't tell what I said. Cause two can keep a secret if one of them is dead.
Well, in The Bin of Sin, Ashley does not say yes to Ted's proposal and doesn't tell him about Jason. Meanwhile, Arya tells Ezra that she got into Talmadge and tells him she wrote a letter to the admissions counselor, Jackie, and shows Ezra the letter. He's fine with it, but he's affected by the letter and keeps reading it. And then Ezra wants Arya to take time for herself, and she's very upset with this. Meanwhile, Hannah wants to move everything in the bin, including the barrel, because her name is on the storage unit's rental agreement. So she and Caleb go to the storage bin, and Caleb breaks the lock with the drill, and they go into the bin, but all that's left is a barrel, and they run into Toby and Detective Tanner there. Meanwhile, Arya and Spencer are trapped in the place where Mona's laptop is, so they are going to freeze to death, but Emma then smashes the controls, and then she gets them outside. Then Toby opens the barrel with Detective Tanner, and a strange smell comes from it. And Tanner sees drops of blood by the barrel. But Toby decides not to see Spencer. He's going to call her tomorrow. Meanwhile, Jason kisses Ashley, but she says it can't happen again, the sex between them. So it was an okay episode. Okay. Here we go to Wednesday night, Arrow and the 100, and then the Friday night shows to round it all out. Arrow, episode 311, Midnight City, a 1.1 rating, which was even with previous weeks, and 2.97 million viewers. So let's go all the way to where Arrow is, and let's play our theme song for Arrow. Here we go. Okay, so Oliver has a bad dream where he sees himself stabbed as he's kissing Felicity and wakes, and he's recovering, and Maseo is going to return to the League of Assassins. And while this is happening, Canary fights a thug and gets injured, and Arsenal saves her, and Dig and Roy are pissed Laurel is doing this. And Thea is mad that Malcolm wants her to leave, and she decides to stay. So Danny Brickwell is having a major crime spree in Starling City, and Ray Palmer shows up, and Brick comes in to where the mayor is and the alderman. Ray tangles with one of the thugs along with Laurel, but Brick takes the three aldermen. And then Roy talks to Malcolm and says for him to stay away from Thea, and he says he'd take orders from non-family. Ray, meanwhile, his facial injury is being treated by Felicity, and he says he wants to protect people he cares for, including her. Meanwhile, Canary wants to tangle with Brick, and Brick starts shooting at Arsenal, and she fights Brick and is downed. Then Arsenal arrows Brick, and he is able to remove the arrow Brick, and then he shoots an alderman. And then Brick contacts the mayor, wants to meet with her in 1 hour. Meanwhile, Malcolm apologizes to Thea, says he's running from Ra's al Ghul and wants to keep her safe, because she's all that's left. But Thea doesn't want to run anymore. She wants to stay and fight. and she's not afraid of Ross, so Malcolm is going to stay with her. Meanwhile, Felicity talks to Laurel, and Laurel says she's not putting on the mask anymore. But then Ray is with Quentin, Lance, and the mayor, and Brick comes and tells them to get out of the Glades with all of the police force by tomorrow night, or he's going to kill all of the aldermen. So Felicity wants Laurel to put the suit on, back on. And so they basically, Felicity gets Ray's chopper, Dig flies it. They go to the warehouse where Brick is. The team goes in. They free the aldermen. Laurel fights Brick and escapes via the chopper. And then Felicity helps Ray out with his suit. And Malcolm is not leaving, and so Roz has now been notified. Actually, the DJ at the club is actually working with Maceo and notifies him because he's been watching over Thea in terms of if Thea is going to leave with Malcolm, and she isn't. So a lot more to happen. And we have it on good authority that Malcolm is going to go to Lin Niu, the island, where Slade is, and he's going to free Slade. Ooh. Okay, on the 100, episode 210, Survival of the Fittest, it reached, it stabilized in the rating of 0.5 with 1.53 million viewers. Bellamy and Lincoln are going to Mount Weather. Meanwhile, the Grounders are going to the Sky People's Camp, and they strike a truce. And Kane says they have a common enemy in Mount Weather. And Clark says they should wait until Bellamy gets inside to lower their defenses. But Quint then pursues Clark, kills her guard, and he starts choking her. But Lexa, the female Grounder commander, stops him and wants Clark to kill Quint. But then they hear this creature, and Lexa wounds Quint so the creature can feed on him. They find the creature's feeding ground, and it's a gorilla, a crazed gorilla. And Clark shoots it, and they flee, and it's still after them. So Clark saves Lexa, and they get in one of the animal cells and provide shelter, but the gorilla is pounding on the door, and Clark lets it in, and they get out, and they lock the gorilla in the cell. Meanwhile, Jahab pays his respects to his son and goes to his burial ground, and Murphy tells him that a 12-year-old stabbed him to death by taking Murphy's knife. As this is going on, Octavia fights one of the Grounders and gets beaten up pretty bad. But Octavia is going to be made into a great warrior by Lexa's second in command. And Jaha says he's going to find the City of Light and then come back and lead his people there. Meanwhile, Bellamy is found by the Reapers and is taken. But Clark knows how to get into Mount Weather, and her army is within. All they have to do is get Bellamy to release them. So Lincoln is injected, and Bellamy is taken inside Mount Weather. More to come. So what about the new shows, 12 Monkeys and Helix? Both were okay this week. Not great. But 12 Monkeys, episode 103, The Cassandra Complex. In 2015, Dr. Rayleigh is ready to show, and he's actually training her, and she can't hesitate, and he's training her to shoot. And then they're trying to find the man who got away, who has worked in the lab where Goyne's lab is. And they had gotten that information from the daughter. And she worked with this a man, Rayleigh identifies him, a doctor in Haiti who was shot dead. So Cole wants to go back to 2014 when he was still alive. And so he just can't cross paths with Rayleigh. So in 2014... there's an outbreak in Haiti. Rayleigh wants to deal with it, goes there, meets up with Henri, the doctor. They get intimate, and then Cole arrives. And basically, Cole gets Henri, but he takes off when Cassie comes. And he follows Henri to a shrine with a monkey face. And Henri attacks him, and Cole gets the upper hand and says he's a friend of Jennifer Goins and wants to know the location of the night room. But then the man with the scar finds Cole and Henri, and Cole fights the minions off as he tries to find the man with the scar. And he's holding Henri at gunpoint, but Cole fights him, gets Henri, escapes. And he returns to 2043 and says he knows how to find the virus. And then he lies to Cassie and says he doesn't know what happened to Henri, but he shot him after he got the information from him. He shot him dead. On Helix, episode 203, starring Soren is missing the kid, and in the future, Hiroshi, Julia's father, finds her, and Daniel is there along with Hiroshi's wife. Meanwhile, Lizzie inhales something, and her eyes are darting back and forth. And Lizzie tells Kyle that the children are very sick, and the kids walk up to him and hit him with stones, and their eyes are darting back and forth, and Peter and Sarah find an unconscious Kyle there, and he recovers, fortunately. Meanwhile, Peter and Sarah are pursued by the infected, and Sarah shoots one of them dead. And then what happens is Hiroshi drugs Julia, and when she awakens, she's injected with sodium pentothal, and Julia tells Hiroshi she's dying and says she works for Ilari. So Peter, Sarah, and Kyle check on the kids. They're all fine. And Sarah wants to bring Alan in on their work, so Peter will talk to Alan. Alan, meanwhile, gets keys to the open building where they're bringing in barrels. He goes in, he opens these crates, but nothing is in them except a tooth, and then Peter is knocked out. Meanwhile, Julia is restrained, and then Hiroshi shows her her dead mother and brother, and they're just like corpses. Very weird on Helix this week. Okay, final two episodes are Grimm and Constantine. Grimm, episode 411, Death Do Us Part. These ghost seekers, Carol, Paul, and Ray, basically do this ritual in a mausoleum. And they find the old Donovan house. And what happens is the lights start flickering in this house. And Ray dies. He's burnt and electrified. Meanwhile, Julia reveals to Renard she's a hexen beast and she wants to get rid of it and wants Sean to call his mom. And so instead, Sean says he's found someone to help Juliet, Henrietta. And Henrietta contacts Juliet and basically wants to meet with her, which she does at the end of the episode. Meanwhile, what happens is Ray's video of his death has a creature depicted in it, and Wu saw this Wesson in one of the texts in Nick's van. So Nick is going to interview Theo's wife, Lily, and Lily thinks that it's Theo, and she's a Wesson too. And Theo, her husband was having an affair with Patty, and so Lily found out about this. So Theo killed both Patty and her husband, Stetson. But really, we find out later that the photo is Seth Stetson, and he's the killer. And he takes Lily upstairs, and basically he wants to start making love to her and everything like that. So Nick comes. He's found a cure. He needs to use this poisoned frog spring powder. His ear needs to be pierced, and he needs to put the powder on his wound, which he does. Nick battles the Wesson Stetson. And he's basically immune due to the frog paste, to the charge. Lily shoots him dead. And the end of the episode is a little bit, his wounds have reopened. You think that his mother has cured him, but she really hasn't. All right, so that was Grimm. On Constantine episode 111, more on ghosts or otherworldly things. This is a whole world out there. Another group of kids, ghost seekers this time, but they're at a cemetery, at a mausoleum, and the students enter another dimension, and a killer is there, and they return. But then one is haunted by the killer in this world, sees him in reflections, and finds himself transported back to the dimension, and he's suffocated. So Constantine visits his professor friend, Dr. Richie Simpson, at Ivy University, and they go to talk to Carter's friend, Adam, but he's not at Carter's wake. So John goes to the mausoleum, uses a spell, and calls up these symbols. And they were using a ritual to perform an out-of-body travel. And the girl is next, Miranda, who's performing a dance, and the killer's watching her through a mirror. And she's found dead in the dance studio. So John and Richie find Adam in a trance, and they find it's Jacob Shaw. And Adam's arms and throat are all cut. And then he dies. So they visit Lily, who tells them about Adam. And they are all alive in the house because Jacob Shaw, wants them there. He wants to play with them even after they're dead. and Adam feels pain as he is the first to be tortured. So Lily is transported to Shaw's realm, and she sees Adam, who tells her to go. And Richie and John, then Constantine, enter Shaw's world to find Lily. Richie forms a door mentally. They get out. Shaw introduces himself to them, and he starts hurting them. And Richie's arms are slashed, and then John tells him to do it as he's pinned down. And Richie brings forth the sun, and Shaw is getting weak, and then he disappears from the sunlight. And then the world starts crumbling, and they leave. Their wounds are all healed. Only Lily can leave. Unfortunately, the others stay as they're already dead, as the house crumbles. And Lily returns. Then Richie has to stay if John goes back, because he wants this reality, but John says he's running away from life. And he returns, and then Richie decides to come back too. And then Richie is lecturing at the end, and he says, suffering is unavoidable, and that inner peace is possible, but suffering won't end until we stop our desires. Food for thought. Okay, we did all the episodes, so we will be back next week with more. Until then, take care. Bye. Thank you.